Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church of Castle Rock, Colorado. New Hope is a church that puts people first. You can listen to our sermons and podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any other popular podcast platforms. This week, Pastor S brings us a sermon called Faith and Doubt. It comes from James chapter 1, verses 6 through 17.
I was thinking today about how important that this ministry we do with youth is, and I was thinking about my own life. There was a time in, I was about early high school, was at a retreat, and we had a guest speaker come in, and they were saying some things, and a few of us had some questions, and so we asked, and the questions just kind of folded into new questions, and we kept asking and pushing, and I could tell that he was starting to get irritated a bit, and in that, as we kept, what about this and what about that? And finally, the verse that we have in front of us this morning is the verse that I got quoted.
That they should ask in faith without doubting. Because if you're doubting, you get nothing. It's all or nothing. You can take all of it or you can take none of it, but you can't be in between on this. And so the basic subtext was, I don't know, please sit down, be quiet, because I don't know what to tell you. But underneath that was, faith only goes so far. And doubting is bad. Doubting, particularly as it is in the form of questions. And you can ask some questions, but don't ask too many, because that means that you are eroding faith and you're not really trusting God, and you shouldn't expect much from there. As if faith were somehow this fragile, delicate little thing, you know, that you bring out on special occasions like holidays, like the fine china. It's nice for big celebrations, but, oh, you would never use it for every day because it just wouldn't hold up. This was so different. This was so different than, fortunately, in my own church, from Sunday school teachers on, who not only, and youth leaders, who not only made questions welcome, they were celebrated, and for them, it didn't mean that you were somehow diminishing faith, you were honoring it. You were taking it seriously because you brought your best questions. And by the way, it's resilient enough. It's made for tough questions. It's made for times like this. We're doing a series called Keep It Simple. It's using the book of James, and it's talking about endurance. How do you endure? How do you live well, in particularly in times of trouble, which is the very first sentence, very first couple verses of James is, in times of trouble, how do you approach them? And once he talks about, just listen, you're going to have them. That's not a lack of faith that you have them. But now, how do you approach them? And what's the importance of doubt? And what's the importance of faith? Because nothing will undermine the endurance, the longevity, the hanging in of faith more than questions and doubts that will, in fact, undermine you if you can't move forward. Because those questions, as you know, they don't go away.
You can be told, be quiet, or just trust us, or who are you to ask these kind of questions? They don't go away, they go underground. And they're still there. And then there's this resentment, and then there's this suspicion that maybe faith is only to be brought out on Sunday mornings, only on Christmas, only on Easter.
Only when everything is going well and somebody says, hey, how you doing? And you can say, great, how are you doing? And faith works there. But if you push it too hard, it kind of falls apart. Blessed are those who are raised in churches, and blessed are those churches who provide a place where questions can be asked, and it is not only welcomed and safe, it is celebrated, it is encouraged, because we are giving one another a great gift. So what do you do? What do you do when it comes to this thing, James's passage, and what do you do with just the natural questions that come up? And for me, it comes to this question right here. What do you believe? If I were to ask you, what do you believe? You might answer it in a couple different ways. Some of us who were raised in a certain time and place where we would be raised, we would give, here's the things that we affirm. Here's the doctrines. Here's the concepts that I grab hold of. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. We would kind of do something like that. The Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, those are important. It would have something to do with the concepts about faith. But there's another way to answer that question. And it has to do not with just your statement of your mind and the concepts. It has to do with the statement of your life. What do you believe? And how does that affect what you do? An example of that, if you haven't already, I would encourage you to get onto that Next Steps, that companion piece to this series. Peter Rollins has a wonderful parable, fireside story, where he challenges and pushes on exactly this question, that faith is as faith does. So what is it? Is faith the concepts that you believe and affirm, or is it the life that you live? And the obvious answer is, yes. It's both. They're both important. And if you only land on one, if you only decide to pick on one, you're doing a grave disservice. You're not moving anywhere. There are times in the Bible where Jesus pins people and says, listen, I don't want what you think. Who do you say that I am? Concept. Proposition. And then he's saying, here's what it really looks like in the kingdom of God. He tells this parable about the sheep and the goats. Faith is as faith does. They're both important. And if you neglect either one, we have a faith that isn't very durable. We have a faith that really can't match the challenges of an adult world. If all we take is the Sunday school answers, we got to the point where we started asking hard questions. If all we take is that an eight-year-old understanding of God and then try to bring it to the adult world without challenging it, it doesn't go well. It doesn't go well for anyone. Actions without thought and questioning is no better than lots of thought and questioning with no action. Think of it as a right foot and a left foot. If all you do is continue to go around with your concepts about God and you don't do anything with them, you're just going in circles. And likewise, if all you do is just this blind, dutiful kind of action without thinking about it, you're going to go in circles too. And what's worse, is we'll start probably pointing to each other, going, look at those crazy people. They're just going around in circles to the right all the time. They're just going around in circles to the left all the time. The point is nobody's moving. You need both of them. Both of them. Now, James is particularly talking about the faith that's all thought and concept and no action, because that's where he's landing. And I'm going to get to that in a moment. But let me make then sure first that we get to this part about, so what about the questions that you have? Because so many times people will have this question with them. I know I'm supposed to believe this. I know I'm not supposed to doubt, or more insidious. I prayed, but I wasn't really sure. I had questions. And somebody will come along and say, well, it's because you doubted. And if you doubted, that's why God didn't answer. So now we have loaded that poor soul up with a double load. Things are not going well. Now they're isolated, and now it's their fault because they didn't have enough certainty. What do you do with those questions? One of my longtime great quotes is from a guy named Friedrich Buechner, and he gets to this simple truth about the questions and the doubts that we have about the concepts about God. And just says, listen, whether you believe in God or don't believe in God, you're going to have doubts. And if you don't, you're either kidding yourself or you're asleep. And then this lovely phrase, doubt is the ants in the pants of faith. It keeps it moving. And it does. It's meant to keep it moving. It's meant to say, you know, I used to believe that unquestionably, but now I see this differently. And now I wonder, if you ever get a chance to read through the Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, he talks about it. C.S. Lewis had this great journey of being an avowed atheist to becoming one of the great apologists of Christianity of the 20th century. And he said much of the same thing. He said, listen, there's times when, as a Christian, I think to myself, this whole thing is nuts. none of this makes sense. He says, but I have to tell you, as an atheist, sometimes I think Christianity makes the most sense. It, no matter who you are, if you're thinking, if you got your brain turned on, you're going to have time of questions and time of doubts, and that's not bad. In fact, it's wonderful. In fact, there are some things that we will never get to without those kind of questions. So Paul Tillich, the theologian, has this lovely saying. He says, doubt is not the opposite of faith. It's an aspect of it. It's a necessary aspect so that what I used to believe, and now I'm having to think differently, and it's because of that. It's because of that disruption. It's because that won't let me alone. That's of God. That's of God. And the church has never done well when it has tried to shut the doors and tell people just to sit down, be quiet, and listen. Because those questions don't go away, nor should they. They just go underground, and people go to other places to ask them. And then church becomes a place that's brittle. Church becomes a place that's afraid. Church becomes, and the message we give is that you're welcome here as long as you don't ask too many questions for too long, which is sort of the opposite of what faith is. Faith is not certainty. In fact, faith kicks in when you're uncertain. This idea that you have to be absolutely certain about God to have faith, that's all completely conceptual. Faith actually only gets started when you are uncertain. Now what are you going to do? And that's the question, what are you going to do? Which gets us to what James is addressing in his community in our passage. Because faith is supposed to move. Faith is supposed to be the thing that brings out at the end of this passage where it talks about the first fruits. You're the first fruits of this new crop, this new humanity that God is bringing about. And it's meant to walk in faith. It's meant to move forward. And here it's faith is as faith does. Don't tell me about all the great concepts you have in your head. Let me see it in your life. Jesus would say, let me see how you're treating the poor, the hungry, the naked, the prisoner. I'll tell you what you really believe. Jesus says, don't tell me all the things you believe about God. Let me see what you're doing with your money. I'll tell you where your heart is. Who cares where your theology is? If it doesn't engage with your whole life, then it's not much good. So this is where it gets to James talking about doubt as being double-minded. Doesn't have anything to do with questions. Faith in this era, in this passage, has to do after having one foot on both sides. On the one hand this, on the other hand that. And you can never make up your mind. And you're always wondering, well, today I'm really going to commit myself. Well, I'm not so sure about today. I'm not so sure. And it's just going back and forth. It's dithering more than anything else. This is what James is talking about. And he says, never expect anything much from God if you just can't decide where you're putting your weight. Faith here is less about certainty. It's all about trust. Where are you going to land? Where are you going to put your weight? What are you going to lean into and give yourself to? Anything else doesn't move you anywhere. The next couple passages right behind this have to do with, for instance, some people in their times of trouble trust in their wealth, their riches. And so that one section where it seems James is so hard on the wealthy and comes up a couple times in this passage, in this book. It's because you say you believe in God, but what you really trust in is your own control, is your own power, your own wealth. Or in times of trouble, what you're doing is you're putting God on the wrong side of the equation. You're saying, maybe God is the one tempting. Maybe God is the one testing me. God doesn't do that. You'll never move forward if you can't figure out which side God is on. God's on the solution side. God's not on the problem side. So what does your life say about what you believe? Which begs this question. If we can't live without questions, if we can't live, nor should we try, to live without the doubts that come with someone who's asking good, hard questions and trying to grow their faith up to the rest of the level of their education in this adult complex world, if you can't live without that, how do you live with it? And what James would say and what James points to, and we're going to unpack some of this in the weeks to come, but I want to just give a brief summary of some of the things that I think are important for us and where we're heading. And it has to do with some of the practices of faith. And coming out of the COVID and maybe going back in, it struck me that we're going to, in this next year, need to be really simple. We're going to have to keep this thing really simple. Because we're going to be in all kinds of different places, and we're going to be stressed, and we're going to, if you had to boil it down, what are the four practices? You're going to see more of this later this fall, but there's no reason you can't start looking at it now. And I got it down to four things. Here's the practices of faith. Here's what we do with our life that makes this stuff live out. And one is you gather. You gather in places that nurture your soul. Where are the places that you gather? With whom do you gather that nurtures you and is committed to you and to your growth? We're gathering right now for that very purpose. Learning. What do you need to be learning? And it's not somebody else telling you what you need to learn. What is your life telling you that you need to learn next? Pray. What's your practice of prayer? There's all kinds of practices. There's no one that works for everybody. No one size fits all. Do you have one that works for you? And serve. Where are you taking the love of God expressed through your gifts and talents and giving it in love to make a difference to the needs of others? I'm contending that there are four questions that I want to keep in front of us this fall. And as we go on through this year, I would hope that anyone who's been around here could be able to answer these four questions. With whom do you gather? What's your practice of prayer? Where do you serve? What do you need to be learning? It doesn't have to be long. Hi, I'm Russ. I gather particularly not only in worship, but the people who nurture my soul is a group called Oasis here in the church. And that's a wonderful place of gathering and nurture for my own soul. My practice of prayer, it has to do with a couple different things that I've talked about before. It has to do with devotionals, and it has to do with something called centering prayer. That's what nurtures me right now. I'm serving outside of my work here at this church. I serve right now most fruitfully in a group at the presbytery who's trying to look forward to where we're supposed to go and what the church is supposed to be in the future. And what am I learning next? I'm trying to learn, and I've sensed that I'm needing to learn more about this connection between science and faith, particularly biology, psychology, and brain, and how we work in faith. That's where I'm learning. What about you? How would you answer those four questions? And by the way, it's okay to say, I don't know yet. But by raising those questions, you're saying, these are the practices that I want to lean into because I want to move forward. I want my faith to matter. I have questions, but this is how I'm going to move ahead with them. I had a couple different ways I was going to end today, but yesterday it was this wonderful, heartbreaking example. I was at a memorial service up in Fort Collins. Leanne and I were up there. A woman who grew up in our congregation, one of the children of this congregation, has her own children. And that child died at 11 years old with a rare form of cancer. Absolutely heartbreaking. And now they're needing to get together and celebrate and memorialize that life. Anybody got any snappy bumper sticker answers for why all that family had to go through that? I hope not. They don't work. We usually give those because we can't come up with an answer, often because it's beyond us. There will be some who will try. There will be some who say, it's just because, God wanted this to happen, or you don't know, basically be quiet, because what God's doing, you will never know on this side of eternity. Great. Or God had a purpose over here. Okay, and if that brings comfort and if that brings solace, great. But what if it doesn't? For me, it does not. Is it okay to ask questions like that? Sure. So this is what I saw yesterday. I saw a community, hundreds of people gathered around this couple, this family. I saw people pouring themselves out in service knocking themselves out to help this memorial service and throughout this disease to be there and to be a comfort and to bring solace and to bring strength to stand with this group. I saw prayers being offered, and I saw people figuring out as we learn how to move forward. And how do we learn so these kinds of things don't get people and don't have that kind of effect on our community anymore? This morning, we're coming to a table. This is a place where we do that. We bring our questions, we bring our doubts, we bring our successes, we bring our failures. I'm wearing this morning, I chose to wear this stole. This stole was created by another mother of this congregation who lost her child. And part of the grief was to create this stole that could be worn either on Christmas Eve, which was one of her favorites, and or, as I wear it, in most memorial or funeral services. Because this is what we do. We don't shy away from the stuff. We have a faith that's resilient. We don't have all the answers. But we still want to move forward. And so we gather together, we serve, we pray, and we learn. So this morning, as you come to this table, this is the place that grounds us. This is the place where we bring our questions. This is the place where we bring our lives. The question is still, so with whom do you gather to help nurture and sustain and make your faith more resilient? What's your practice of prayer? Where's your place of service? What are your questions telling you that you want to learn more about? All of that is part of what we bring this day, because our questions do not disqualify us. They open us to the presence of God.
Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. If you've enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review it and share it with your friends. Go in peace and have a wonderful week.